Third Ingham, where are we at? The Dead Set Legends. She's a couple of minutes past 9 o'clock and some members of the off-air team here are not looking well. Are not looking well whatsoever. The Adelaide Crows go down by 3 points last night. Unfortunately, no good. We got Callum Ferguson fresh off Gather Round signing footballs. Hello, mate.
Yes, and a Bombers win. Look at us go.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you what, though. Again, Dead Set Legends time. Not a cloud in the sky. Oh, what a magnificent morning here in Adelaide once again. Where would you rather be? I'll tell you what, though, on the drive in, I did notice a few extra port power jackets walking the dogs this morning out of our town.
No doubt about that. And the former skipper of the Brisbane Lions come down here to the Port Adelaide Football Club and just racked them up for fun. No doubt about that. Tommy Rockleaf, hello, mate.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Adelaide. Tough loss for the Crows last night, wasn't it?
Bloody hell.
Yep.
What's going on?
Well, I'm an Essendon fan. That was holding the ball.
But not even that. You've got Friday night footy, Adelaide Oval. You're the home team. Big, big game. You've come off a good win against Carlton. You don't turn up in the first half. Like, this has been a trend for the Crows all season. They get to halftime, the game's nearly over. They were lucky to be in it and be that close. They were dominated everywhere last night and they were probably lucky to only lose by 3 points in the end.
It's probably 2 weeks in a row where poor kicking from the opposition has kept them in the game to an extent. You know, Carlton last week couldn't hit the side of a barn and then Essendon again last night. But, they played the last 5 minutes well, though, the Crows. I thought they really controlled the tempo of the game and I thought they were going to steamroll us, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, there last night at the game and the crowd was humming. Yeah. Like, just tick under 48,000 there, Fergus. And I tell you what, when you get two goals in front with that momentum from a fan's point of view, you don't feel like you should walk it in, but you feel like you shouldn't lose from there.
No, it's a good point. I was sitting at home watching it with
very Ray surprising that. Why weren't you behind the glass?
It's been a big month. It's been a big month, and I'm just trying to gather myself at the moment, Rob.
I think the kids are at the in-laws.
No, they were at home. They were with us.
Were they?
Yep.
But, spare room.
But I'll tell you what, I was the same. I felt like the tsunami that comes with the Crows' momentum in the crowd when they get a couple in a row. They got to about 18 points up at one point. I thought that they were just going to run away with the game, but it just didn't happen. And for whatever reason, they weren't able to keep the momentum up in Essendon and stem the flow. But that last 5 minutes, honestly, last night it felt like we were letting the game go as an Essendon fan and the Crows were coming and unfortunately they weren't able to get the job done.
No, it is disappointing. Geordie Dawson's going to join us, actually. The skipper's good enough that he's going to jump on the line. We're loving that. Now, we're hearing some concerning things throughout the week, Rock, because our man C.Dot Ferguson, like, he's a class act. We know that. He's gone from South Australian cricket, and he's dominating the media, but just treated with no respect whatsoever from 46 of a weeknight on the rush hour.
Oh, yes, embarrassing. That they went after our man, Fergus, which I don't think he's heard yet, so we'll have to play that to him later and get his reaction, because they had him on Thursday or Friday, and they were patting you on the back.
No, they were right around me. What are you talking about?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Not so kind.
Oh, no.
Not so kind.
Righto.
We'll have to play that audio. We need your response.
Activity going on,
eh? It's not good. I tell you what. We are up and going here at the Dead Set Legends. We have beer and barbecue festival double passes to give away all morning. This is incredible. We're going to take your calls as well. I tell you what, what's going on with the Crows? Where are we at? Were they robbed? All thanks to Sterling Holmes. It's the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. Triple M. 9 minutes past 9 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's at Triple M. The Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo.
So we're inside 10 seconds. Ball bubbling around. Walker tried to take him on. Ball bubbles out. Fogarty's in there. Essendon over it. Umpire looks.
What a win.
Essendon win.
Gut-wrenching for the Adelaide Crows supporters out there. 3 points down to Essendon Footy Club last night, Rock.
Yeah, one of the great callers too, Yada. How good was that? On Triple M live last night. But again, the Adelaide Footy Club, big Friday night, home ground against Essendon. You'd think they'd come fired up, ready to go, and unfortunately they didn't. Their first half, they should have been a long, long way behind, and the stats back that up as well. So the disposal count was in Essendon's favour. Inside 50s was plus 19 to Essendon. Hit-outs, clearances, everything was just in their favour. Contested footy, Essendon won. The big stat, though, is that they out-tackled. They out-tackled the Crows as well. So they've had more of the footy, but then they've also had 17 more tackles than the Adelaide Crows.
That's
so
a damning stat, isn't it? When you've not got the footy and you're getting out-tackled.
Yeah, so that just tells you that a team's turned up and they're not ready to go. They're not switched on. They're not in the contest at all. Mindset was wrong. And this has been a bit of a trend for the Adelaide Crows all season. They could comfortably be sitting here 0-6. Had they not kicked 16-4 last week against Carlton, they would be, because that's the only thing that really won it for them last week was how accurate they were and Carlton's inability to take their chances in front of goal. So, yes, we'll talk about the free kick late in that game, but they should have been a long, long way behind. And there's some serious concerns about the Adelaide Crows now. They're not the team that they were last year. That they're rocking up. The games are almost over at halftime. Then they find a way to get back into it. And unfortunately, the trend for them now is they need to be able to fix their first half. They need to fix their first quarter to make sure they're in the game at quarter time.
Walking back over the footbridge last night with a lot of other Crows fans, and I just grabbed a punter and I just said, mate, like, literally, I was just walking along. I just needed someone to talk to.
By the jumper?
No,
very forward, isn't he, our man?
I just said, forward. I said, mate, what is going on? And it was actually quite interesting because he just goes, I can't figure it out, mate. And he was a diehard. Yep. He go, I can't figure it out. He goes, the same Crows team as last year, a year older, supposedly a year better, 1-5.
Yeah. Last year, this was one thing that stood out for me, and I was right behind the Crows on this one. Their effort was as good as I've seen from any team for a long, long time, for years. And it wasn't that they were winning on talent. They were just winning on unconditional effort. I wonder if that's waned a little bit because, like Rocky just mentioned, starts of games, that takes effort and willpower. You just got to get into the contest. You got to get some body contact early. And I'm not experienced at footy. I played in the juniors. So, Rocky, talk us through whether you feel like I'm on the money with that one, because I just feel like that effort can't be there if they're starting so poorly.
No, you hit the nail on the head, Ferg. You watch them last year and their effort was there. Yes, they don't have the talent. They've improved that. They've brought players in that bring the talent and we expected them to take the next step. But I think this year you can question their effort. They can pick and choose a little bit when they go for it. And the contest that you talk about late in the game with Rochelle, he's probably one of them at the moment that is picking and choosing a little bit. He comes in and out of games too much, not consistent enough. But that's not on him. The whole team is like that.
Then
you talk about the free kick late in the game, and I think Brad Scott had some comments post game about the non call.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at a replay. Masses of numbers around the ball. There are a lot of decisions holding the ball for and against throughout the night. We'll obviously focus on the one in the last, couple of seconds. But I can show you a couple of others too, if you like.
Which I understand that, and a great deflection down to the third man from Bradley Scott
there.
But
beautifully.
Let's be brutally honest. It's holding the ball at the 30-minute mark of the first, second, and third quarter, is it not?
Yeah, I'm as diehard Essendon as you'll ever get.
It's holding the ball.
That was holding the ball. It was holding the ball.
So why do the umpires put their whistle away? Well, it's actually not fair, though.
I don't
Rocky.
Get it, because they go the fair. Other. But they actually go the other way during the game.
So umpire at the 14-minute mark of the first quarter, at the 30-minute mark of the fourth. What's the difference?
Oh, well, they put the whistle completely away. If you watch that play back, you could nearly say that Tex Walker takes on the tackle and almost bobbles and falls out. So he should have been done holding the ball first. Draper falls on the footy, so it gets locked in. He should be done holding the ball, but Tex jumps in his back as well. So do you pay in the back?
Well, you do. Because it would happen in the first quarter, so why doesn't it happen in the fourth? And then everyone go, oh, how good's finals footy? They put the whistle away. If you're going to umpire at round six in the home and away, umpire it like in the finals to get the sides to the finals.
Yeah, I don't get why they put the whistle away for the last
few minutes. It's ridiculous.
Like, they should be calling the game all the way through. So if you're going to call the last few minutes like a final, call the whole game
bloody
like a
hell.
Final.
It's funny, isn't it? Crows fans, Ferg, that they think that that umpires have cost them finals 2 years in a row
now.
Absolutely, the Crows were robbed. Right in front of me.
Never gets old, that.
No.
Like, you're putting it down to the umpires cost you another finals campaign in 2024.
What about the free?
Yes.
What about the free kick at it you got at the end of the in
no
the
one remembers
second
that,
quarter?
Fergus. No one
kick
remembers that.
For holding the ball to Langford, to Fogarty, just.
No, I'm going to the family on this. I want to go to the family. 133-53.
Let's do it.
Were the Crows robbed last night? No, in all seriousness. In all seriousness, was that a free kick? Was it not holding the ball? And I understand that Tex might have played for the high tackle as well, but He gets hit high with a Crows rob. 133.53. I'm riled up about this. I genuinely believe the Crows should have four points in the bank last night. You're not with me.
He got a free kick in the dying embers of the first half, which was never holding the ball. Fogarty missed it. He had a chance there.
It was very well umpired late in that game.
133.53. This is coming from Port Adelaide and Essendon flogs. 133.53 with the Crows robbed. Hit us up on the phone line, please. Double passes galore to give away to the Beer and Barbecue Fest. 133.53, Crows fans. Hit the phone. 104.7, Adelaide's Triple M, 19 minutes past 9 o'clock. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo, the Dead Set Legends this morning, are asking the question. 133.53.
Absolutely, the Crows were robbed. Right in front of me.
Yep.
Right in front of me.
No doubt. Oh, unbelievable.
So that video was what, 2007 maybe? Yeah. And their mindset has not changed, Ferg. Last year was the umpire's fault that they didn't make finals when he called it a point, and now it's the umpire's fault again that they've lost and they're not going to play finals.
Oh, I was at that game. Ben Rutten hanging on to Jack Anthony wasn't there. There was nothing in it.
Dearie me. Actually, we've had a few text messages come through too. So Dave from Wingfield said, this is refreshing. Crows supporters blaming the umpires for a defeat.
Oh, come on, Dave. Shocking.
Now, we've had Jerry from Dorsley. He said that that was holding the ball, but there were plenty of horrid calls against the Bombers that resulted in Crows goals. Diehard Crows fan here, Jerry. So we're getting a bit of a balance, I think, and we've got plenty of calls here, which is great.
0488 5104 7. Hit us up on the text line or 133.53. Let's talk the Crows right now as we go out to Jake from Camden Park. Were they robbed, mate?
Yeah, mate, 100% they were robbed. We were, I was there last night. Yeah, I'm on the radio, bud. Sorry.
I love it.
Rebecca. But yeah, no, I was there last night with one of my mates who's a diehard Collingwood supporter.
Yeah.
And he was like, mate, you were robbed.
Yeah.
So, a bit filthy, but I think in general, the umpiring this year has been under par. In all games, really.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. They won't make decisions, and the goal umpires refuse to make a decision whether it's a score or not. But the umpiring has been a bit off this year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The crypto.com are getting a nice little wedge, aren't
that's
they?
That's the best. That's the best sponsorship.
Unbelievable
in AFL, and it probably didn't cost that much.
Clearly, whatever they've paid, they haven't paid enough. To be honest,
what I will say, great to have them on board the Adelaide Football Club as well. As we go out there, Al from Appleston, we got out. G'day, Al. Good morning, guys.
Hey, yeah, good morning, guys. How are you? All right.
Yeah,
good,
great, mate.
That's good. Now, they did get robbed, but in saying that, how many decisions went for the Crows when they kicked that goal in the second quarter that they brought up? Tex Walker went to have a kick, dropping the ball, didn't get paid for holding the ball. They let a lot of decisions go that I saw, and they were shocking umpiring decisions. Okay, so, look, the Crows got robbed, but fair enough, Port have been there too and done that. Come on the board. How many times?
That's the thing I think as well, Alf. They put the whistle away for the last 2 or 3 minutes. No free kicks given. They missed a lot, but everyone's going to talk about the last one.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. Alex from Shido Park, what are your thoughts on it, mate? Because there's a bit of both coming at us here.
They weren't robbed, boys. No umpire is ever paying that free kick in the last 2 minutes. Never gets paid. No one's got the courage to pay that. But, I mean, Bombers should have put them away early. They kicked straight, but every start on the board shows they were in front. They didn't deserve to win it either. Like, the gameplay was slow and just stagnant coming out the back line. I think the biggest thing they're missing is actually Riley Toothorpe down the line, because while he didn't take a lot of marks in the forward 50, he did take that contested mark up the line, and Rob just can't mark nothing at the moment. He's got Dawson and his brother on it.
Alex, a question for you. Do you get disappointed? Because I genuinely do. Why do they umpire differently in the first quarter to the last quarter?
Well, this is the funniest part. I do get disappointed. It's like watching finals. Everyone goes, oh, you know, it's so much better because they just put the whistles away. Well, it's not. They just stop paying everything that's there. So apparently you can throw the football now. You don't actually have to handball it. Holding the ball, no one knows what holding the ball is. And, like, seriously, what are the actual rules? It's the worst game in the world to try and umpire.
That's good. We're going out of calls, but he's won a prize, that man.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
I think they mandate 3 rule changes every year, don't they? Like, it's ridiculous.
Nah, it's going
so much grey.
Yeah, it's going grey. Who we got there, Fergus?
All right, we've got Ben from Clovelly Park. Now, Benny, which side of the fence do you sit on this one, mate?
Well, good morning, boys.
You too.
My my thoughts, being a Port supporter, and I did sit down and watch the game. I say this with a slight smirk on my face, but yeah, they're absolutely right, mate. That is holding the ball every day of the week. And I guess for me, the real question is a point you guys made before around effort. The difference between, I think, this year and last year is sometimes effort and I guess hard work can band-aid issues at a club. And for me, it's quality of playing list. And I think from that point of view, through the midfield, I guess your thoughts around the effort sort of band-aiding what was, well, what is probably a non-elite sort of playing list at the Adelaide Crows?
What are your thoughts, Rock?
Yeah. I think their talents, they've still got pieces that they've got to add to that. They need to add some strings to their bows, but you can pack your effort. When you pack your footy bag before you go to the game, it's the first thing you should be putting in. Mm. And some of the Crows players don't bring effort for the full four quarters.
Let's finish this off. Andrew out at Marvin. Malvern, I should say. Andrew, what's going on with the Crows? Robbed or not?
I don't think they were, because looks like Tex had a holding the ball just for the end. So, yeah. But I think the Crows, I don't dislike them. They're just like a bunch of pretty boys that don't want to put in the effort each week.
Just lost Andrew there.
Oh, he's turned him off. He's not wrong. But they have. That's a good point. They are playing like pretty boys at the moment instead of the workers like the blue collar that we seen last year.
Yeah, they definitely were blue collar last year. It was outstanding effort all the way through the season. They just, this year, it doesn't seem to be coming from the start of the bounce.
A lot of these questions we can ask the skipper of the Adelaide Football Club. Yes. Geordie Dawson joins us. Absolutely. Just before 10, Triple M. 22 minutes away from 10 o'clock, 104.7, Adelaide's at Triple M. The skipper of the Adelaide Football Club, Jordan Dawson, is, he's a stay at 31 and kicked two last night. Kept the Crows in the game. He's going to join us in the next 10 minutes.
Great of him to put his hand up.
Really good.
Never easy after a tough loss like that.
No doubt about it. 0488 51 047 is the text line number.
Yeah, it is. We've actually had a few come in, and they've both the texts have been coming both ways. The Crows have been robbed. No, they should get over it. Pete's just texted in. Crows members should get a box of Kleenex included in their membership packs.
Come on, Pete.
Come on, Pete.
Pete wants a new sponsor.
Pete, off the long run.
Come on, Pete.
Oh, goodness
Not
me.
Not required. Didn't need it, Peter. Now, interesting week this week, Rock. I was having a little bit of a listen to the rush hour, which is, don't worry, it's absolutely flying. But
I was going to say you and not many others.
Hang on a second. No, it's going all right. But
it is.
I found it quite intriguing, if I'm being honest, because right. I hear it and I get my back up a bit when I hear about my boys getting taken down and they have a crack at Rock and they have a crack at Ferg and they have a crack at me, which is all okay. They have a crack at
Bass. Yeah, we're good about it.
All good.
It goes both ways, doesn't it?
It goes both ways, no doubt about it. So there was a few things that, absolutely belted. And they, off the top turnbuckle for you this week.
Really?
Jazz had a crack at you. You haven't heard
what
this
about?
Audio. You have not heard this audio, but here, he opened up the mics at 4 o'clock Monday and this is what happened.
Off with a guy called Callum Ferguson.
Callum?
Who does a terrible job on Dead Set Legends.
Yeah. I
don't know where they are.
I sort of get up and MC with Fergie, actually. Callum Ferguson.
Oh, that'd be a hoot.
So he's over there as well. He came late because he had to do the duds on Saturday. And then,
I'd just like to say as well,
hang about.
I don't think Dead Set Legends has been in better hands.
Well, let's face it.
Absolutely.
The numbers compared to when Jars got the arse from it. Bluey, I reckon, was there too. Honestly, they nearly shut the show down. nearly didn't go back to air. Lucky we came along. Seriously,
Rock,
what's Jarman on about?
Rock, so that was
seriously.
So there was a bit of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all rolled into that.
Yeah.
And then we had a big announcement throughout the week, didn't we?
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You being the number one ticket holder down at North Adelaide Football Club.
Yeah, of which I'm very honoured about. And, it's a huge privilege for me. I was very excited about it. But they had me on the show.
Well, this
I didn't
is
hear
the
any
thing.
Of this stuff that they've been carrying
so
on
So you've
about.
Been belted for three nights straight.
Which Monday, I had no idea about.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They open up the mics to get you on. C. Ferguson. You would think that if they've belted you for three nights straight, they'd hit you between the eyes.
It's Callum Ferguson. Fergie. Congratulations.
I'm bloody proud of you, mate. It's fantastic. You have been a very good supporter of the football club, and it's great news. I was really pleased.
What's that? They get you on and pump you up and make you the best mates, Ferg. A bit two-faced.
Well, that's right. Like, I was just sitting here thinking, this is as two-faced as it ever gets.
Yeah.
Like, they've been belting me, literally, pillar to post.
Terrible job on Dead Set Legends.
Oh,
dead set duds. Yep. Like, what, I mean,
some of the guests they've had on this week as well. I mean, I think a few listeners might not have been wrapped with
there.
It. But what happened?
There.
What happened Thursday night, Tomo? Your old man was listening, driving. Look,
they're not clean skinned at the moment.
No,
they've had a few issues this week.
Not going beautifully.
They shouldn't be shooting around bullets like that.
No, my old man rang me at about 6 o'clock when the rush hour finishes on a Thursday night.
Yes, okay? That'd lead into the rub. Wouldn't
so
it?
The Thursday rub. Yeah. So Luke Beveridge, obviously, you know, on a knife's edge he was, and come out with a great coaching performance. But before that, we wanted to hear from JZ Clark, Isaac Smith, and what's going on.
Yeah, that's right.
What the rush hour through to was the Thursday scrum, which is the NRL show in Sydney. Sydney!
They didn't.
We haven't had a team here in the NRL since 1998.
Rocket Rod Ready and the Rams haven't been cited for almost two decades.
Well, man heard about State of Origin. He thought, shit, are they bringing it back?
Tomo.
Are they bringing it back?
You talk about Luke Beveridge and his contract being on a knife's edge. I think Andrew Jarman and Greg Bullitt's contracts are.
Hadn't been a good week, Fergus.
They've had a tough run.
I'm bloody proud of you, mate.
Triple M, the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tomo. Unfortunately, the Crows went down once again last night. 3-point loss to the Essendon Football Club. This man tried his heart out, though. The two goals in the second quarter from the skipper was outstanding to get us back in the game, but unfortunately couldn't get the 4 points. But he joins us right now. Geordie Dawson, good morning, mate.
Thanks, fellas. Cheers for having me.
Very tough. You know, and that's probably sugarcoating it for you and what your group would be feeling right now. Heartbreaking loss last night against the Essendon Football Club. How do you sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, it is heartbreaking. I mean, I think we, as a group, we're probably just disappointed, I think, just with the way we kind of started the game in the first half on the back foot. And to their credit, their pressure and intensity around the ball especially was really good, and we just didn't match at the start. We were lucky to kind of be in the game at halftime, but then, to have such a close loss and not play our best footy, I think that's probably what's the most disappointing thing is not playing our way.
And Jordan, you speak about the first half in particular, but that's been a bit of a trend for you guys all season. You've started really slow, game's almost done, and then found a way to get back into it and almost pinch a couple. Gold Coast earlier on, Melbourne, and then again last night. Have you reflected on that at all as a leadership group or as a coach, like with the coaches? What do you put the slow starts down to?
I'm not too sure, mate. I think it's definitely something we'll look at this week, I reckon, just because it does feel like it is a bit of a trend. And I don't know, maybe if we're waiting to see what opposition throw at us, or I can't put my finger on what it actually is. But yeah, it's definitely something where, especially at home, you want to put the opposition on the back foot. If they're coming into your kind of home ground, you want to put them on the back foot by starting your way and playing your way. And we haven't been able to do that.
Geordie, it felt like there was perhaps a little bit too much and too much heavy lifting to be done by too few last night. And you certainly kicked a couple and really looked like you'd inspired the side and you were going to run away with it with the groundswell of emotion coming from the crowd. You just weren't able to continue that momentum on. Do you feel like too much is being asked of too few at the moment?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say definitely at times not everyone's going to play exactly how they want to play and have as big an impact on the game week to week. But I think we spoke about it after the game. It's about the moments, especially late, but throughout the whole game, it's about the moments of when you can impact, you have a positive or a negative impact on that contest. And we're probably, looking back, I'm sure we'll review it very closely in the last quarter, but I'm sure that there was a lot of moments where guys didn't stand up. And as for me, like I'm not necessarily worried about, getting the ball as much. It's more just how can I impact for the team? And I feel like everyone needs to be able to do that in those crucial moments to win those tight games.
I think it's a really good point you make, Geordie. You get smacked, or you didn't get smacked, in inside 50, sorry. Contested footy, you lost. Disposals, you lost. But the most damning thing is that you're out-tackled by Essendon by plus 17 as well. So defensively, you guys weren't on at all.
Nah, not at all. I mean, that was something that I was pretty filthy with, I think, at halftime when we were down 14 tackles, I think. And it felt like they were owning us on the outside as well. So that was something that I never kind of want this group to be known as a defensively poor team. So to have that kind of output is disappointing.
You lose, you learn. There's no doubt about that, Geordie. And unfortunately, the Crows have done that for five times this season. But I tell you what, we're learning a bit about Jake Soligo. 31 last night. He was outstanding. Yeah, he is going from strength to strength. What do you got to say about the young boy?
He is just a natural footballer, that guy. He's I've loved kind of watching his development over the last few years. And you can definitely see the extra responsibility in the midfield. And Jake's just, he's just such a clean, hard traditional kind of midfielder, but he's got that bit of flair as well, and he's been able to show that the last few weeks, and I think his probably last month, to be honest, has been unbelievable. So he's probably the real shining light of the season so far, and what has been pretty disappointing.
And Jordan, Josh Rochelli had a moment late in that game that he would probably want again. How do you go about that as captain to support him through that this week, last night? Because it's going to be talked about a lot in the media. How do you throw your arms around him and support him through this?
Oh, mate, I'll just tell him, like, we've all been there. There's not a footballer in the country, AFL or not, that can say that they haven't sort of had a moment that they'd like to take back and haven't, you know, probably not gone as hard as what they should have. So we'll coach the behaviour of it, I suppose, because his character and who he is, I couldn't question that. So he'll learn from it, and I've got no doubt. After speaking to him after the game, he was so disappointed in the outcome, but also a couple of moments late that I'm sure he won't do it again, because moments like that haunt you. And I think you know, Tom, everyone has those moments and they've wanted for a while, but it's how you bounce back from it is what's important.
Absolutely. I was petrified out there, mate.
when you're getting 40.
And Geordie would be remiss of us not to ask, what happened to the umpire there? Would he lose his whistle in the last 2 minutes? What happened? Because I tell you what, there was high tackles, there was holding the balls. What happened there? How did you see all that playing out?
Oh, I don't know. I think you create your own luck a bit, and we would have definitely got away with one if we kicked a goal at the end there. But I'll be interested to see sort of the ruling on that, because I assume if you dive on the ball, it's classified as it should be a holding the ball. So I'm not sure about that last couple of seconds. But I was pretty happy with kind of how we played that last couple of minutes. But Essendon held up pretty strong and very disappointing. But it'll be interesting to see kind of if it was meant to be a free kick or not.
Mate, he's jumped on the Sharon like a dreamland mattress. Like, honestly, it's like you wouldn't believe. Anyway, we'll leave it at that, Geordie. And, thank you so much for your time, mate. And, really, really do appreciate you jumping on after such a hard loss.
No worries, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Geordie.
Geordie Dawson, class act from the Adelaide Football Club right there. And can hold his head high, Rocky. He was absolutely superb last night. 31 of the hard ones and 2 goals to go with it.
Yeah, certainly best on ground performance. And he couldn't have done much more last night. Unfortunately, the Crows go down again.
7 minutes past 10 o'clock, 104.7 on the dial. We're also on Lister as well. The Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tom. A hell of a first hour as well, Fergus.
It was a lovely hell, wasn't it?
Oh, plenty going on.
Jordan Dawson, how good is he to come on? He just always puts his hand up, doesn't he? Tough loss, not easy to come on. I thought he spoke beautifully.
Yeah, he really, really did. He actually spoke about the non-decision of the holding the ball late last night.
I'll be interested to see sort of the ruling on that, because I assume if you dive on the ball, it's classified as it should be a holding the ball. So I'm not sure about that last couple of seconds, but I was pretty happy with kind of how we played that last couple of minutes. But Essendon held up pretty strong and very disappointing, but it'll be interesting to see kind of if it was meant to be a free kick or not.
Spoke well, Rock.
Yeah, he did. He certainly spoke really well. And I think what I got out of it is they'll be focusing on their starts more so than the finish at the end. They executed pretty well how they wanted to. They got the repeat entries. Unfortunately, they couldn't get that goal that put them in front. But they need to focus on their starts. I mean, you can't be rolling in at quarter time, half time with a performance like that. Friday night, bright lights, 48,000 in the house, and you don't rock up. Not good enough.
That's a tough one. I spoke earlier about the fact that my gut feel on the Crows last year was that was just unconditional effort from ball one. The minute the ball hit the air and hit the ruckman's hand, they were on. And this year, it just doesn't seem to be the case. They're ebbing and flowing, and you think they've got the momentum, then they drop away. It's not
the Crows we're used to seeing.
No, you're right. No, absolutely. 1-5. Not, and it doesn't really, you know, go down to North Melbourne. Well, it's in Tassie next week against North Melbourne.
That's
it
a tough win down there.
It sort of is the Crows that we've been seeing, isn't it? They haven't played finals since 2017. Oh, so sitting down the bottom there somewhere.
Come on, Rob.
Shots fired.
Come on, Rob. Come on, mate. We're all feeling a little bit low. We don't need it. We don't need it, Rob.
Well, some of us.
We don't need it. Now,
4-2.
Aren't you supposed to sing the Essendon song?
No. No, that was last year, mate. Give it the times.
No, mind you, there's a bottle of wine on this season, so drink it responsibly.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Still waiting for the other bet to be paid last year, ain't
you? No, it's paid off.
No, that is paid off. I will give him that.
Before the start of this year.
I will give him that. Now, Rocky, we found out last week that our man Callum Ferguson flew down to Melbourne, had to do the show from Melbourne, private jet down to Tasmania, which we found quite incredible, yeah?
Yeah, we certainly did. Well, he went over Thursday to do an ad and decided to stay for a couple of nights instead of flying back for the fifth wedding anniversary, which was quite staggering. We had his wife on last week to talk about it.
Here's what she had to say.
Hey, legends. This is Rhiannon Ferguson, Callum Ferguson's wife. I was hoping you could pass on a message for me. He's currently interstate on a golf trip. And I just wanted to wish him a very happy 5-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, thanks, Mom, where's Dad? Oh.
He's on a golf trip, sweetie. Are you missing Dad?
Mm.
Oh. Yeah, he's on a golf trip, sweetie. He's playing golf. Sorry. It's just us.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie.
It's just... I'll tell you what. People think I've got a broken heart from last night. Poor Layla. He just wants to spend some quality time with her dad. And he's gone. He's all working. Around the country. Working.
Backside off.
What?
I just had a look at your tax return. There's nothing on that.
No, I can't see anything.
No payment.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Getting paid in crayfish.
That's right.
Crayfish. So let's go to the family on this, because I genuinely don't think we will get a call. I'm going to be brutally. We will not get a call on this. Why'd you miss the anniversary? Because there's just too many good people out there that put their marriage first, Fergus.
Well, we had a 2-day anniversary extravaganza earlier in the week. It was wonderful. Out to the lovely Fugazi, maybe Maze.
Here we go. A couple more plugs.
Gingers on Goodwood Road. For brunch. It was a beautiful couple of days.
but when it was there, when you needed to, you know, it was all there in front of you, you went missing. You went missing. 133-53.
Trip down.
Let's
Tassie
do this. And we also, as well, we also have these incredible beer and barbecue festival
now,
double passes to give away.
Seriously.
We love
you
this.
You want a part of that.
I don't think we'll get a call. 133-53. Why'd you miss the anniversary? We'll take them next if we get them. Triple M. In excess, Saturday morning, 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. 15 minutes past 10 o'clock. Dead set legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom. We're going to the phones. 133-53. Why'd you miss the anniversary? It happened to you last week, Fergus.
I made a trip down to Tassie for some work.
Golf trip.
Well, it was work.
Nah.
Working down there.
Were you paid?
It's a great trip down there. Great trip. We had a good time. Bluey and I hosting the Bass Strait Masters. Get on board if anyone's a big golfer and loves Tassie. King Island and Barmboogle. But we did have a wedding anniversary extravaganza earlier in the week.
Okay. Wedges this in, doesn't
turn him, turn him down.
48 hours worth.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful couple of days.
It's quite extraordinary, this.
Reliving the moments of our wedding.
Oh, God. No, I've had enough of this. 133-53. Why'd you miss the anniversary? Let's head up to the beautiful Adelaide Eels. Daniel Mount Barker, what do you got for us, man?
I've deliberately got married on a leap year, the 29th of February. So only I've celebrated once every...
Very good, Dan the man.
Once every 4 years, which isn't... I get in a bit of trouble every 3 years, but that's all right.
Yeah, it's worth
that
it.
That is a man with a plan, right?
That's smart.
100%.
That's smart.
That's as good as I've heard.
Oh, and you're happy to cop a dark one every 900 days, aren't you?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah, you're happy to go, you know what, I'll put my hand up. Here he is.
Who we got?
Here he is. Sam, the boss of Dead Set Legends, has actually called in. This is the first time we've spoken to him this year. Good morning, mate.
Morning, fellas. Sounding good.
Great to hear from you.
Thanks, mate. Any, is this live feedback or are you contributing the phone?
Nah. Does he still work here?
No one was calling up, so your producer asked me to contribute.
Hey, that's a radio secret.
You want my story?
Yeah, yes. What happened, man?
Yeah. All right, so I got home and my lovely wife had made a really nice dinner and champagne, and she goes, "Hey, it's a special occasion." And I was like, I was blank. I could not remember what it was. And I said, are you pregnant? And she went, no. And then we had the nice dinner because I'd booked a band practice. So I went off to band practice. I came home and there was a lemon tart, which is my favourite cake, and it said happy anniversary.
No,
I had I ate the tart anyway, and then went up. Sorry, profusely.
No but, way.
Oh yeah. Well, I did. Yeah, I booked band practice. We had a very important gig coming up on a Thursday night at Crown and Anchor. So.
Yeah,
Franker.
No. Yeah, and that's going beautifully now, Sam. How's the band going? Go and plug your shows.
The band, the marriage is still going strong. The band's fallen over in a heap.
Oh, we love that. 17 minutes past 10 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Dead Set Legends. Morning, Adelaide. 22 minutes past 10 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's at Triple M, the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson, and Tomo Jacob Surgeon, the coach of the North Adelaide Football Club, is going to join us very, very shortly. I'm looking forward to that because the number one ticket holder, can you believe it, is our man Callum Ferguson, and we need to get to the bottom of it. 0488851107 is the text line number, though, Fergus.
Yeah, no, it's been busy today, and there's been another one come through. My wedding anniversary used to always fall on Bathurst weekend. I wasn't home for eight in a row, and now I'm divorced.
Okay. That worked well.
Angus from Littlehampton, we're with you, mate.
Yep, Gussie, that was off the back of why'd you miss the anniversary, and well, he's not going to miss it anymore, is he?
No, there won't be any more.
I think that's fair enough. Now, big story throughout the week, Zach Butters as well getting off of the MRO, but Charlie Cameron just took the limelight there. Rock, what's going on?
Yeah, he certainly did. The good bloke tax. He had credits in the bank and got off effectively because of that, because the grading would have seen him get a week, and they didn't change the grading. They didn't downgrade it from medium to low, and he got off for that. And there was people that also thought that Zach Butters probably should have been suspended for that incident against Fremantle last week, which I don't necessarily agree with, but everyone's allowed to have their opinions. That the action, if he had been knocked out, then he probably does get some time on the sideline. So it begged a couple of questions, didn't it? Should we have a good bloke tax? Which I don't think we should. Like, how do you get off for being a good bloke? And they say that Charlie Cameron's never had a history. I think he's been charged five fines. But it also brings up, should you be able to win the Brownlow if you get suspended? Because there's a lot of talk about Zach Butters getting off because he's a Brownlow contender. So if you suspend him, we've seen Paddy Cribbs win a Brownlow a couple of years ago by effectively getting off in the last round by his lawyers that went to appeal. So where do you boys sit on that? Do you think you should be able to win the Brownlow if you get rubbed out?
Look, it's a tricky one. I do feel like naturally if you get rubbed out, you shouldn't be able to win it. But I'm looking at some of the rules that are being brought in now. The game is, it looks completely different to what a lot of these players learnt on the way through up until they're 18, 19. But the players that are 28, 29, it's not that easy to rewire your brain to start, you know, not slinging a little bit with the tackle, et cetera. I think there's got to be different gradings for different penalties. You know? Like if you get done for a sling tackle, I'm not sure you should be losing the opportunity to win the Brownlow.
I just feel like when it was brought in, the best and fairest, I totally understand it with the Brownlow medal, and the game, the things that would get you weeks were the thuggery acts.
Yes.
They are out the game now.
Like, that's what I'm talking about.
So they're out the game. Yep. So I feel like if you're contesting the ball and the ball is your only focus and unfortunately you clip someone high, that footy accidents do happen, you shouldn't be rubbed out for that in terms of the Brownlow. I can understand you're going to get a week, but you should be still eligible to win the Brownlow.
Yes, you can get a week, but you're still in the game.
That's
to
what
win
I
the
think.
Yeah. Oh, I tend to agree.
Should be the best player for the year, not necessarily the best and fairest.
Yeah.
Because they can still be the best player and get rubbed out. And I'll tell you what, if you get rubbed out for a few weeks and you still win the Brownlow, probably deserve it.
So this is a question that you guys might not have the answer to. But so someone gets rubbed out at the last round of the year and they're not playing finals and they're rubbed out for three games for the following year. Can they win the Brownlow the next year?
Yes.
They can.
Yes.
Yeah, because I was rubbed out the year before.
So you can. So you're still eligible. Yep. So Jimmy Webster as well, even if you get done in a NAB Cup game or pre-season game, is that... I'm throwing you under the bus here on the run.
That's an interesting one, actually, because that's...
Or is it in the actual season?
I think it's in season. So any game that's up for Brownlow votes, I think that's where it's got to come from That's the season.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
I
mean,
same as if you get done in finals as well. Like if you got done in the grand final, I think you can still win it the next year.
Mm, yeah.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah, like it really is.
Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's at Triple M, the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tom are here until 11:30 today. And then Triple M rocks football. The Rub straight into the Port Adelaide Football Club taking on Collingwood at the MCG.
But huge clash.
Rocky, disturbing images come across our social media this week. It is quite extraordinary what's going on. C. Dot Ferguson making it all about himself again.
Oh, hang on.
It's not surprising.
What have I done now?
He's always done that. He booked in a month holiday for the start of the season, so we didn't have him on air for the first month.
Sri Lanka. And
I don't know. How do you become a number one ticket holder of a place? Like, what do you got to do, Tomo? He's been announced number one ticket holder at North Adelaide, of course.
I can run you through it if you want.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do?
No, so I'm going to be the number one ticket holder this year for the North Adelaide Roosters, which I'm really proud of, actually. Yep. And it's a huge honour and certainly came out of the blue. So Craig Burton from the footy club down there, CEO. And
Ferg, what do you got to do?
I've got to turn up to a few functions and show my face, be a good ambassador for the club, pump us up on air, which I find very easy to do. Wonderful club.
What I reckon, Rock, what would the main component be would be
games.
Attending games. So
I'm going to get down to a few training sessions as well.
Forget the trainings. Good. Like, it's game time. We're ready to rock and roll. Yep. Already two games and you've been to both?
Haven't quite made it out of a game yet.
Has not been down there since 2017.
Rock, we're going to go straight to the top and figure this out and, decipher what is going on at North Adelaide Footy Club.
What a club.
Number one ticket holder, the head coach, is good enough to join us right now, Jacob Surgeon. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, gents. Great to be on the show this beautiful Saturday morning.
What a day it is.
Yeah, it's a great... Now, sir, let's cut to the chase. What's going on with our man Fergie? Because what was it? Just scraping the barrel, no one else would answer the phone?
Hang on, Tomo.
The number one ticket holder.
Jeez.
Fellas, I'm not going to lie, okay? We did hit up Jazz.
Why would you hit him up?
But... Jars actually got back to us and said, sorry, guys, I'm too big for the football club now.
No surprises he said that.
His waistline is.
Just his personality and who he is and all that sort of stuff, which we were like, okay, yeah, we sort of get that a bit. And then Ferg was there sort of waiting in the wings and as the number two option. And from our point of view, obviously really, really grateful to have Ferg on. Yeah, I've only seen him once since I've been senior coach, and that was since 2020.
No! COVID impacted, no doubt.
Yeah, a little bit of COVID impact there. And
not much you could do with that.
He can be a little bit sensitive, so we just tried to keep him at arm's length. But we're thrilled to have Ferg on board as our number one guy. So he's an absolute superstar, and he's got that international presence, which not too many SANFL number one ticket holders would have.
Mm. No, that's exactly right, Serge. It's been a tough start to the season for you as well. You've lost your first couple of games. Ferg knows a lot about losing, lost a lot at the Redback, so I'm sure he threw his hand up to come down and just have a chat to you or the boys, offer some support.
Yeah, he's given me a few tips in regards to footy stuff and trying to have a little bit of the game plan and all that sort of stuff. And I haven't taken any of it on board. We just got to make sure that we rock up and we play our style of footy. And yeah, like you said, it has been probably a really tough 2 weeks for us, but there's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel for us. So I think we made 6 changes this week. So we're bringing some young, fresh, enthusiastic kids in who are really going to have a crack at it. And I'm really excited to see how we're going to go today.
She's a beautiful day for footy today, Serge. How do you see it playing out, mate? You must be pumped to take on the Sturt Footy Club.
Yeah, well coached under Marty for a few years now. They recruited really well. They played. They had a good win against South last weekend. So we just got to get back on the horse. We made a few changes this weekend. Source has got the boys flying down to the Eagles, but our effort and the way we went about it was unacceptable. So as you boys know, when you have a game like that, you need to wield the axe a little bit, and we've done that, but in the right areas, and we've. We're really excited to see some of the young kids. We've got two debutants playing this weekend. Liam Hoy is a big ruckman. He's
brilliant.
A big 5 centimetres out of Sydney, out of the UNS Bulldogs, and a young kid, Kelsey Ripstra, who was on the draft radar probably 2 years ago, but he had a horrific injury against Port Adelaide where he basically did his ACL, PCL, and MCL all in one landing. And he's, I think after about 660 days, he's going to make his league debut after all that rehab. So we're absolutely thrilled for that. So it's going to be an exciting day for us.
And Serge, it's always great to see former players of the club making an appearance in the AFL and making a presence. Jordan Sweet getting a crack this week for Port would be a big thrill for the club.
No, absolutely. Sweet's an absolute star. Obviously a member of our 2018 Premiership team. Went over to the Western Bulldogs. They had a pretty good ruckman in English who's, you know, all Australian, and he just probably just couldn't get the opportunity then. He's come here, obviously, along with Big Ivan, and those two have been competing, and I'm really excited to see what these two can do together. I think it's going to be really good. Collingwood obviously got Cox and Cameron, who are going to, who boys will go head-to-head with, but I think he gives Port Adelaide great flexibility in regards to what they can do. Obviously, Charlie sounds like he's a little bit banged up and needs a spell, which is good, so it's exciting for the club. So I'm really pumped for Sweetie, and hopefully he can have a good game and the pair can get the win.
Brilliant.
No, it's been good to have you on, Serge. Don't listen to Ferg's advice about footy. We know he's been signing footies and stuff lately. Yeah. He just needs to stay in his lane. But if you ever need any advice, I think the last time I was out there at Prospect Oval, I had the 57. So if you ever need it, just feel free to give us a buzz.
All about number one.
Yeah, Rocky, come on, mate. Like, you know that 57 was in the wet and all your stuff is back of centre. It's not very funny.
So let's 57, space. Serge.
30 of them running behind the ruckman.
Would have taken you a month to have 57.
Hey, some guys just needed to play their roles.
Yeah.
whenever I got the ball, it was always handball off to Peter Burgon and then defend his man. So that was my job. That was what I had to do.
Serge, you're a star, mate. Thanks so much for joining us and good luck today.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Love you, Ferg.
Love you, mate. Go well.
Fantastic. What a story. Now, he's just had a crack, our man Rocky, about the Redbacks. You know, and, you know, what a good time.
Now, fair dinkum, seriously. Things went pretty well for Rock while he was at the Lions too, didn't they?
Just had a look at the winning percentage.
30%? Did he get it?
Winning percentage up at Brisbane.
Yeah.
Oh, at Brisbane.
12%.
That's higher than I thought it was going to be.
Love it. Bit of noise work. 6 minutes away from 11 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's at Triple M, the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. We're going to replay the chat from the skipper of the Adelaide Football Club, Geordie Dawson. We'll do that just after 11 o'clock. But a massive game of football today. The Port Adelaide Football Club head over to the MCG to take on the reigning premiers. Rock.
Speaking of Dawson, we called him Geordie a couple of times. I don't know if he likes Geordie, does he? Or is he a Jordan man? Or
he's one of us. He's one of us.
We're just following Tomo's lead on this one.
Yeah.
And it actually, now that I think about it a bit more, it worries me.
The blind leadiness, Fergus, it's not not ideal.
Hey, we've gotten away with it for 2.5 years.
Yeah, no, that's right. So only the one change at the MCG. Port Adelaide take on Collingwood. Should be a cracking contest. Yep. Jordan Sweet comes in for his first game. Charlie Dixon outmanaged. It should be a good contest. I mean, Collingwood haven't been the team that they were last year, so I think they're ripe for the taking. They'll want to knock Port Adelaide off, but Port Adelaide had a tough win last week against Fremantle, found a way to win late in that game, but they're doing so much right, particularly around the footy, that their midfielders are right on top. It's going to be a midfield game again, and Collingwood's defence, particularly one-on-one, they're ranked 17th in the competition when the opposition kicks it inside 50 and one-on-one, so they need to fix that. Obviously, Charlie Dixon not being there, but they've got Toddy Marshall down there. Sweet will play down there. So they may stretch him a little bit. But obviously, you've got to put a bit of time and energy into the Dacos brothers. Jamie Elliott always gets off the chain a little bit as well. So it should be a ripping contest. I'm leaning towards Port Adelaide. I think they just get the job done. Their midfield is just in sync at the moment. They get the footy inside 50 as much as anyone in the competition. Gives themselves an opportunity. They've just got to be careful post that clearance. They've got to make sure that they get outside the contest and follow up and win their ground balls. They rank last in the competition for that. So I'm leaning towards Port Adelaide. I don't know what you guys think, but I think they'll get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Port are going to just be too good, to be honest. Where are the concerns, I suppose, for Port? Where can Collingwood hurt Port Adelaide? Because I feel like Port have been really well-rounded this season. Their defensive side has been pretty strong, but there's been a couple of moments in games where they've conceded a run of goals. Is that the concern, or is there something else that stands out to you?
Not a great deal. I think that, like, again, last week it was just a really good contest. Maybe just their efficiency when they go inside 50-foot. They're going to have to be a little bit more makeshift this week without Charlie Dixon. He's normally the main guy down there, but Marshall and Georgiades So I think they're going to get supply from the midfield. It's whether they can take those opportunities. Collingwood's defence in the past has been really strong. It's just been a little bit off to start the season. So maybe that's one thing, that if they get the footy inside 50, they've got to take their chances when they come. We've seen them be a little bit inaccurate at times as well throughout the season. So that would be probably the biggest concern. I think other than that, the balance around, they've ticking a lot of boxes. Their defence is so strong. They complement each other really well. Their midfield's firing on all cylinders. It's just that forward half, how that operates.
I listened to Craig McRae throughout the week, the head coach of the Collingwood Football Club. They're actually saying that the bye come at a really good time for Collingwood. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. And they play the MCG really well. A question for you, Rock. Obviously, being an interstate player outside of Melbourne in your career, did you earmark these games at the MCG and go, right, this is our opportunity? Because if we're going to get it done in September, it has to be done here.
Yeah, you certainly do. You love playing at the MCG. It's probably the best stadium. Well, it definitely is the best stadium in Australia. If you play Collingwood there, they always generally fill it as well. So when you take on Collingwood at the MCG, you certainly circle that one.
Now, Rock, I think that the big three down back for Port, it was a concern early in the season, but it feels like they're really starting to gel nicely together. That makes the back six pretty formidable for the Power going forward. Good chance for them to have a look at the MCG, looking towards finals. Obviously, they won't be, but we are for Port.
Yeah, I think like their key defenders are just getting the job done. Zirk Thatcher's, his form's been really, really, really strong. And then you've got the smalls that complement that. Like, you've got Lachie Jones, who's tough as anyone as a defender. Dan Houston, who's as skillful as anyone, wins his contest, and Burton the same. So I think they're back six or seven. Burgoyne, you can throw him in there as well. Really, really strong. Bergman can go back as well. So I think their defence is really, really strong, Port Adelaide.
Should be a great game of footy. Yes. Cannot wait for it. Triple M rocking football from 11:30 today. Oh, we're up and humming here. Don't worry about that. 9 minutes past 11 o'clock, if you don't mind.
Now, let's just cover that one off.
What's that?
Well, a few weeks ago, Loz said you're the worst panel op in the country.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I don't agree with it, of course.
No.
But certainly, you're loading your gun, aren't you?
I am a
little
bit.
Taking us to the news 5 minutes late again.
Yeah, we're meant to be sort of bang on 11. That's right. What's 9 minutes? It's all good.
I don't agree with her, but you're loading your gun.
Play on. No, that's fair enough. I'm probably going to get my act together. I tell you who needs to get their act together.
Right.
It's probably the whole content team at Triple M, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because we just saw our boss, Matty O'Reilly, just walk in here.
That wasn't pretty.
Bloody hell. Looked like he'd been hit like a train. Unbelievable. And he reckons he's run in here. 12 Ks.
Another Crows supporter drowning his sorrows responsibly last night.
No, responsibly. We do that. The old 196 cans, aren't they? Good responsibly, obviously. He ran 12 Ks.
But did.
It doesn't really matter when you're doing 10-minute clicks. I just looked on his Strava. 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
Come on, Matty.
Good grief. Sort it out, O'Reilly.
Now, big game of footy last night, obviously. Adelaide Footy Club went down to Essendon. We're going to replay our chat that we had with Geordie Dawson earlier, or Jordan Dawson.
It's good from him.
Rock, have you got some findings about what happened? Yeah, because it's like the whistle was just, it just disappeared in the last minute.
So the AFL have just released a statement on the non-call at the end of the game.
Okay.
And I'll
read
it to
you
in
full. I think we all know where that's going,
don't we? Yes.
And then you can try and explain it to me, what should have been paid.
Word for word, Rock. Hit us.
So, in the moment at ground level, the umpires believed that Draper dived on the ball and then the ball came out to Draper's left and then was then knocked back under him by Walker. In review and with the assistance of broadcast angle and behind the goals, Hawkeye vision providing a clearer look, you can see that the ball moves from under Draper's chest to under his armpit shoulder, which means that the ball is still in his possession and he has not immediately knocked it clear. Therefore, it technically should have been a holding the ball free kick, right?
So, thank you. So it's holding the ball.
I agree with that.
So the Crows should get the points.
Yeah. But there's more to the statement. It's a very challenging one for the umpires in this situation with the ball on the ground to see exactly where the ball is under a large number of players and who has control of it. On ground level, they were not certain of all factors, so they didn't pay it, which is the correct approach at the time. So, I'm more confused reading that than what I was before. So they're saying technically it should have been a free kick, but the right decision was paid.
I've got a bigger headache than Matty O'Reilly at the moment. Like, where are we at with that? So just stop after the first paragraph. It was paid, or it should have been paid. You know, there is a thing of actually putting your hand up and saying, you know what, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got this wrong.
I got this wrong.
All three.
All the field umpires didn't get a clear look at it, is what I'm hearing.
No.
All
my
of
God.
Them. So, four? But four? We did nothing wrong. Four of them. All four. Yeah. None of them got a clear look at it, which is an issue.
But then we had the Hawkeye vision, and it was therefore it should have been a free, but then it wasn't. Is that?
I'm more confused reading that. No. Technically, it should have been paid, but then the correct decision was
this
paid.
This is why
time.
we end up with so many issues. There's just zero clarity on the rules of the game.
How can any AFL supporter or watcher lover go to a game and expect to understand what the hell's going on out
three
there?
Three new rules every year. Is that right, Rock? Is that what's happening? Like that, how are you meant to keep up with this stuff? Seriously.
My brain hurts. Really.
Actually, then getting onto another discussion, Tomo, you raised the Brownlow, you know, like with the good bloke rule. Like, how confusing is that as well?
Yeah,
like, let's get some clarity in the game, some transparency.
Yeah.
And on that one, I thought I'd go back to the text line on this one because, good morning, boys. Ferg is spot on with the Brownlow.
He's
go well,
himself,
cheers, Rusty.
Ferg.
He's spot on. That I'm spot on.
Just a quick
because
one.
Because what we're talking about, I agree that the Brownlow medal at the moment in this day and age with the way the rules are in the tribunal, like we're going to have near enough no one eligible anymore if we keep rubbing out all the guys that are playing the game the way they were brought up to play. You know, you tackle someone and accidentally sling them at all, you're rubbed out.
Have you just brought that up to bring that text up?
Absolutely. The lovely segue. Ferg was spot on.
The replay of Geordie Dawson next, and we are out of here. Have a good one, Adelaide. See ya.